Father, we just thank you. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to your word. We ask you quicken it to us, Lord, that we may be able to hear it, be able to appropriate it, be able, Lord, to receive it, Lord, in our heart and in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So, and as yesterday I was reading, listening, and so on, and preparing for today, the Lord gave me the different title for the whole series. And I really think that that reflects exactly what we want to get from what we are covering now. And it's the Holy Spirit is the executor of the New Testament. You know what the executor is? Executor is somebody, you know it well. Okay. Well, you know, it's somebody that is in charge when somebody leaves an estate, and they take care of the execution of all the documents and all the transactions that need to take in place after somebody passed away. Well, the New Testament is the covenant that took place between Jesus and God, is really in the New Testament. That's why it's called New Testament, because it's out of his death on the cross that there is a new relationship between us and God, because he's the intermediary. See, this is why the Holy Spirit is so important, because he is the one carrying out or executing all the transactions that need to be taking place between us, the heirs, and the source, the one that give us these things, all the blessings and all the benefits from Jesus' death, including forgiveness, healing, and everything else. Okay, so, and it's the Holy Spirit that carries out this. This is why Jesus gave so much importance when he was leaving to the fact that, when we are born again, we receive the Holy Spirit, but we need another additional experience for that. We need the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to come into the full experience of the power of God inside us. And the way that happens when we do open up to that, then we come into a greater amount of relationships that is not just the Holy Spirit presence in you, and feeling the presence of God, but is even the power of God manifested in us through, to start with, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And later on, for, learning to actually walk in the Spirit all the time, so that actually the gifts are naturally operating through us, and we don't need anymore to have God pushing us and say, do this or whatever, because we naturally move the way God wants us to move. See, this is the final outcome, and when you do that, the fruit of the Spirit are going to as well be manifested in you. Okay? So the objective here for me is to get you to the place where you can see and understand the way God uses the Holy Spirit to operate and to manifest in you the changes that need to take place to carry out the transactions that God wants to have with you. Okay. And that's what he does to make us grow and develop in the way we need to develop. See, we cannot grow out of our own strength. We cannot grow out of our own effort even. Because often our efforts end up being efforts of the flesh. And so becomes a burden to grow in the Lord. When instead, it's God himself that changes us and transforms us. And it's a transformation that is not burdensome, is not heavy, is not an effort from our side. It's that God changes in us, so becomes effortless. Okay, and it's him. And you know that it's him, it's not you doing it. Amen. So now we go back to Romans chapter 8. That was the last thing we read last week. And we go and start from, we already dealt with a couple of verses, but I'm going to start from verse 10 again. and says, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. So the first things that happens when Christ is in us, when the Holy Spirit came inside us, okay, that things get normalized, get proper balanced. You know, the body is dealt with. The desires of the body, the fleshy part of us is dealt with because we recognize and we understand and we connect with us, you know, recognize that sin. Some of the things that, we would do would be sinful. So the sin part is dealt with not because of our own effort, not because of we are trying to do something, it's because that's dealt with, that's resolved once for all. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't make mistakes, or sometimes we don't fall into it. But this is when we fall back into the flesh that we end up doing these things. Otherwise, they're not going to be there. And in the spirit is life because of righteousness. So because of the righteousness is being imparted as to us. You see, it's not something that we have done ourselves. It's that we have been, there is that transfer of the righteousness of Jesus unto us, as our sins went transferred to him. See, that righteousness that we have received in our spirit becomes the life in us that starts operating. And as long as we are connected with him in Christ, then that life is going to be manifesting in us. And that involves all the things that it has to do with the presence of God in us, the power of God in us, enabling us to do the things that we otherwise ourselves we cannot do, because it's him, he's the one doing these things. The Old Testament people could not walk properly, could not overcome, could not, even the greatest one of them had serious difficulties and problems. But we are in a better place than the best of them, because we have the Holy Spirit inside us. And that Holy Spirit empowers us. It's not just there so that this is not a theological statement. This is an experience that we should come into, realize, and live by. You see, is that presence inside us? Is that anointing inside us that makes a difference? And so says here, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. You see, and that life is not just a theory. It has to touch everything that has to do with us. It's not just a spiritual thing. Because it's talking about give life what? To your spirit? Yes, it does. But doesn't stop there. It gives life to what? Your mortal bodies. That means that your mortal body is affected. That means this body here, this flesh and blood that we have, is affected by the life of God that is inside us and then manifests itself in some way. Otherwise, if it doesn't manifest, there is nothing there. So there is a manifestation in us of the power of God in our physical being, that enables us, number one, to act the right way. You see, it's motivating us, it's directing us, it's enabling us to do the right thing, number one. Number two, is taking care of our physical functions. So if we are sick, it can heal us. If we are weak, it can give us strength. If we need something on the, emotionally, it can touch us emotionally so that we can overcome and break through our emotional problems. So every part of our being is affected by that life that is inside us. And it's not our life, it's God's life. So it's much more. So we are not anymore, the way Paul says, mere human. Simple human being. We are superhuman being. And this is was written there 2,000 years ago in the Bible. See, and we are not saying anything new. It's just that, you know, throughout history, what religion has done has focused people on the sin problem. And by focusing on sin, you see, what you focus on, you give power. So if you focus on your weaknesses, you give power of your weakness. If you focus on what God has done for you and the power it has given to you, sooner or later, that power is going to be manifested because it's there. One of the things that you have to understand is that we don't need to go anywhere to get anything. Everything is inside us already if you are born again. The things that you have to do is to let it come out, is to cooperate with God, is to open up so that God can manifest what he has already put in there and what he wants to see you to have. Many Christians are in a situation of lacking things, of needing to go to place, needing to... God is our source. And God is as if the Spirit of Christ is in you. In you, not somewhere else. Not at the meeting. When we come together is to minister to one another. Is to help one another. But you have it already there. I cannot do it for you. And you have to allow that to start manifesting itself. Start the Holy Spirit to manifest himself in you. So give life to your mortal body through his Spirit who dwells in you. This is not your strength, your own abilities. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. We have to realize that what we depend on is not our own abilities, is not even our own strength. You know the song we sang before, let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich. That's one of the things that we had to learn to do. That we stop looking at our situation even. And we start trusting that God's promises are so. Because that's what makes all the difference. See, understanding that our breakthroughs come for our reliance on God's promises. It's critical for our success. We cannot, in any other way, succeed in breaking through, but by the promises of God. This is what Peter says about that we break through the corruption of the world through by the precious promises that are given to us. See, but when people start saying, well, you know, sometimes it says yes, sometimes says no, sometimes says maybe, you know, forget it. That kind of preaching robs you from everything that God wants to give you. See, they are affecting, or they are removing the basis of the Bible power from you. And because of that, they are robbing all your faith and everything else that God can do for you. We shall live when we allow the Spirit of God to be our life, our motivator. We are connected with that. And this is not just a theory, it's not just a theological statement, it's an experience we come into. It's an experience we have in our walk. I believe that God wants to bring us to the place where we can walk in the Spirit all the time. This is when a mature Christian, when a Christian is mature, you know, is when they start walking in the Spirit. The more they can walk in the Spirit, the more this is going to be true, the more is going to be manifested in them, the more they are going to be like Jesus. Because the final end of the story, what God wants to do is for us to become like him. When we are going to be able to have, when we have the understanding or who he is, how he operated, and the things that have to relate to his walk, we are going to be able to walk like he did. And this is what he said himself. Are you following what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. And you see this verse that comes after says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." Hello? He was the Son of God. We are going to be the Son of God. Can you say Son of God?
Son of God.
If you learn to be led by the Spirit of God, you are the Son of God. Actually, you are already, but the point is, it's not manifested. And to the degree in which is manifested, you are going to be more and more, you know, people are going to be able to see that you are. See, this is not something that goes under the bushel, or you know, something that goes, is someplace. This is has to be visible. Then says, you know, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage against to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." You see, we can have that relationship. We can go to God instead of being afraid. We can call him Daddy. My Daddy. And our relationship with our Daddy is even better than any relationship we even have with any Daddy that we have, no matter because they were human and they were not perfect. Our Daddy is perfect. Amen. Some daddies were good, other daddies were not good. You know, and that doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. God can more than compensate. For the word says, even if my mother and father reject me, he is not going to do that. All right. Are you still with me? Good. So, this is Romans chapter 8. Before I suggested that you read every day Ephesians, you know, chapter 1 and 3, where I'm suggest that you read Romans chapter 8 for this month all the time. Just meditate on it. Just think about it because there is so much power in that chapter. There's so much understanding that we get, so much that we have to receive from that can change your life. And the Spirit of Himself, the Spirit Himself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. See, the children is when they're young, but the sons of God is when we grow up. Okay. And if children, then heirs. Talking about the testament before. Heirs of God and joint heir with Christ. Heirs of what? All the New Testament benefits. Everything that Jesus has procured for us are our inheritance. As his children. See, the same thing that he received for himself is ours too. Joint heirs. So the inheritance that he has after he came up from the dead, after he was raised from the dead, is our inheritance because we are co-heirs. I mean, we may have not experienced that or experienced that to a degree. This is the thing we have to deal with ourselves, with our own heart. You know, we have to see, okay, do I feel like I am receiving all these benefits that he received, you know, and deal with the issues within ourselves that make us think otherwise, because we have to line up our thinking with the God's thinking, God's ideas. Because when we line up with God's ideas, then we are going to be able to walk the way we walk. We should walk. That's what makes going to make the difference. That's what's going to enable us to manifest the fact that we are the sons of God. It's because we think the way he thinks. We have to allow our mind to line up with God ideas. Because all the problems that we have is because of that. It's in our soul. Our mind does not think the way God thinks. And there is a little thing here that may be less exciting, but is just as true. It says, if we indeed suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. For I consider the suffering of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. With the glory that shall be revealed in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Jesus came up from the tomb. One of the benefits he had was the glory was given to him. We are co-heirs of that glory. Are we? That's what the word says. Can you see the impact of understanding and accepting that? You know, it's not that you take anything from him. It's just that he gives it to you. It's not that you are taking God's glory. God gives you his glory. That's enough to get you give the goosebumps. Now, I want to focus a moment on the word sufferings, though. Because, you know, lots of people take that and make it into what is not said. You know, people say that suffering, well, you know, if I'm suffering, like, you know, if I'm sick, I'm suffering for Jesus. I'm sorry. You are not suffering for Jesus. See, this is complete wrong thinking. You are not suffering for Jesus when you are sick. Jesus suffered for you so that you don't need to be sick. Okay, the suffering has to do with the things that he went through because he was speaking the truth. You see, he had persecutions, he had opposition, he had lots of things. You know, everywhere he went, he was opposed and found people against him. Guess what? When you start speaking the truth, when you are starting to preach the gospel, the true gospel, what is going to happen? You're going to get opposition just mostly from the world because they hate you and from the religious people because they tell you that they don't like what you're saying. He said that, you know, Jesus said many times, you know, that fight me or they persecute me, they'll persecute you if you're my followers. If they don't persecute you, then you probably are not one of my followers. You know, there are so many scriptures, I could read them to you, but I don't think that I need them. If you go later on in the same chapter, it says, you know, what can separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or pearls, or the sword? You see, all these things are things that are physical things that are imposed to us because we stand for him. So the same persecution that he received, we receive, but that's the, going back to the scripture I just finished reading, I'm going to read them again, because you have to make the connection. If children, then heirs. You want to be heir? There are some implications for that. Heirs with God and joint heir with Christ. All the benefits, all the blessing, all the glory that Jesus had, you are heir of. If indeed we suffer with him. So you see, we had to take the way what he did, what the consequences, the suffering and the opposition that he got, the persecution that he got is because he stood in that place. Because he said there was a Son of God. Because he took that place. Because he preached the gospel. So the world accepted him much better than the religious people who killed him. Who did try to kill him all the time. Were the religious leaders. You know, the first opposition you're going to get is from the people that, heresy, I'll call himself the Son of God. You know, well, that's what the Bible says. That's why he was killed. That was crucified. So, but the idea, the bottom line here is that those come together. the persecution, the opposition from the world and religious people is coming together with the glory that comes to him. In fact, Peter says, you know, that, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial with which to try you. And though some strange things happen to you, but rejoice to the extent that you are partaker of Christ's sufferings. That when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. Is 1 Peter 4:12 and up to 14. You know, the two things are together. You are the manifestation of Jesus now. And with that comes the fact that the way the world or the religious people see him. And so they're not going to like you. That's part of the story. That's part of the position we had to take. But you see, the glory that comes with actually having the Holy Spirit working in us and manifesting in us that we are the sons of God is far so superior to all the other problems and all the opposition and all the other things that we are going to get. And that's the thing we had to, you know, this is what Paul experienced, what the other apostles experienced. You know, they were opposed because they stood for the truth. But it's so much better than to live in the world. It's so much better. Heir with Jesus. Co-heir with Jesus. Jesus' glory is also, you are heir of that too. As you allow that to be manifested in you and you start walking, not in religion, but by the Spirit. You see, you're going to manifest. What does it mean that? It's what Jesus said. You see, Jesus' ministry is your ministry. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, that I may, and all those things. You know, the same thing says in Mark 16, you know, that this sign shall follow them that believe. Jesus said himself in John chapter 14, the work that I do, you shall do also, and greater work than this should you do. That's the meaning. See, when God's power is manifested in you, that's the glory of God operating and manifested. It's not your glory. So we are over for the time. I think. Is that so? Yeah. Is the Lord good? Amen. And we have to understand that if we start connecting with him, he brings us from glory to glory and from faith to faith. You see, the glory is manifested through our faith. And our faith is manifested as we appropriate the things that he has done for us. That's the glory. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer and just receive. You see, just, you know, as I shared before, I preached last week the message, you know, and the same message I preached on Sunday, I listened to it during the day, during the week, and healed me. So, you know, there is power in the Word. There is power to be healed, to be transformed, to be enabled to do things beyond what you can do today. And, you know, I'm not saying I got everything. I need more. But I have everything inside already. I don't need to go any place to get it. The only place I had to go is to go to the Word. If I go to the Word enough, I get everything I need because the Holy Spirit is going to do it in me. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your Word. You send your word and healed us, truly. And we, Lord, receive from you, Lord, today, everything that you have done for us, Lord. All the breakthroughs that we need, we already have them in you. All the understanding that we need, Lord, you can give to us and to our minds so that we can break through in the areas. Lord, just help us to keep our eyes on you, that you are the author and finisher of our faith. Enable us, Lord, to put our trust in you so that we may follow you and obey you so that we may manifest the things that you prepare for us and for our lives. And we thank you and praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and see you.